I remember when I was 18 years old, my dad was building a house. He built a new home for our family, and I was slave labor. And I'll never forget when it came time to pour the foundation and to pour the basement walls, and we had to carry those big forms, that's some of the hardest work I ever did in my life. But I remember saying, "Dad, what is all this stuff for?" And he shared with me the importance of a foundation. That before you build anything, you have to build a good foundation. And whatever you see is only as strong as the foundation underneath it. And that is true. Many of these strong trees that you see, that withstand the storms and the rain and the wind, are only standing because they have roots that go deep and they have a strong foundation. I don't think I've ever preached this before. When I was a little kid, we used to sing it. It went something like this. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. You remember that? Yes. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. And the foolish man. Well, look at Matthew 7, beginning with verse 24. Therefore. Okay, we're going to do that in just a minute. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power that makes teaching and preaching come easy, that anointing of the Holy Spirit. I ask as I share today that you would anoint me to preach your word and to teach your gospel today, and that you would bring forth this message with clarity. Thank you, Father, that the computers are working today, that everything is functioning the way it's supposed to. Thank you for I have notes today. And I pray your blessing upon this service, and we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now you'll notice verse 24 began with my favorite word, therefore. And when you see the word therefore, you stop and see what it's there for. It literally means I've said all this to make my point, and now here's my point. So in order to fully understand the story that we just read about the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, we have to back up and see what he said just before that. So look at verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. I believe in Christianity that we basically will encounter three basic groups of people. There are three groups of people that I see in this world today. First of all, we have the heathen. These are the people who set no claim to any spirituality at all. They don't go to church. They don't acknowledge God. They're lost. Secondly, there's a group that I call the religious folks. These are the people who are involved in religion. And to look at them, you would think they are really got it all together. They go to church every Sunday. They dress up really good. They sing the songs just like everybody else. And to them, they look acceptable to God. These people call themselves Christian. They may call themselves Muslim. They may call themselves Buddhist. But they're trying to get to heaven based on their performance. They are religious. The third group of people is what I call the righteous. That's what I hope we all belong in. These are the people who hear the gospel and they understand that a man can be declared righteous only by faith in Jesus Christ. We trust in the finished work of the cross. We don't trust in our performance. For if a man could be declared righteous by the law, Paul said Christ died in vain. Amen? We relate to God through a born-again relationship through Jesus Christ. Now, I've said many times that when we get to heaven, I believe there are going to be a lot of people there that we didn't expect to be there. They may have not gone to church. You may not have even known they were a Christian. But in their heart, they believed that Jesus was the Son of God, that He died for them. They accepted Him as their personal Savior, and that gave them a ticket into heaven. Then when we get to heaven, we'll see some, or we won't see some, that we really expected to be there. They were the ones that said, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name, drive out demons, and perform many miracles?" But Jesus said, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Now, there are a number of parables that Jesus taught, distinguishing between that group of people. I tell you, there's two groups, the righteous and the religious. You see, I believe that's what it's all about. And I believe you need to understand that being religious is not going to get you to heaven. There are a number of parables that Jesus taught that distinguish between those last two groups, the religious and the righteous. Let me give you an example. First of all, there was the parable of the wheat and tares. Remember that parable? He taught us, don't go pulling out the tares because it looks just like weed, and you might pull out some good weed instead as you're weeding, you know, your garden. So let God take care of the tares. Amen? And then He taught the parable in Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins. There were 10 virgins who were dressed for the wedding festival. And five of them had oil, and they had been prepared. Five of them did not. They all were asleep when the bridegroom came. That kind of tells me the whole church world is probably asleep now. Come on. But when the bridegroom came, five of them trimmed their lamps. They had their oil, and they were burning bright. The other five, they looked the same. They had white robes just like the five that were prepared. Come on. So you had the religious and you have the righteous. And then there were the parable of the sheep and goats, also found in Matthew 25. Sheep and goats. And He separated them. Thank God we are the sheep of His pastures. Can you say amen? And here in Matthew 7, Jesus tells us you can't go by the outward appearance. Or you can't go by the way they sound, because they may sound very religious, but not be very righteous. It has to be a matter of the heart. I hope if you attend Grace Family Church that you don't think that coming to this church will get you to heaven. We don't come to church to get to heaven. We come to church to get through earth. We are going to heaven based on one thing. What have you done with Jesus Christ? If you've received Him as your personal Savior, you have a relationship as His child. That, my friend, gets you into heaven. We go to church to be encouraged and to fellowship and to get through this life together. It has to be a matter of the heart. It's the doers of the word, not the hearers only. And those who are trusting in the finished work of the cross that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 and 6, look what he said. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you failed the test? And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. See, he's telling us here, we need to examine ourselves and say, am I trusting in my performance? Or am I trusting in God's grace and the finished work at the cross? Listen, friend, religion is like a treadmill. Now, I go to the gym and I get on that treadmill and I walk. And lately it's not been doing good since I had surgery. I don't know, they got to fix something. Something's not right. But before I had surgery, I'd walk 2 or 3 miles on the treadmill and not have any problem. Now I go a half a mile and I'm about to die, you know. But the thing about the treadmill is you never get anywhere. I look at the gauge and it tells me I've gone a mile or two, but I'm in the same spot I was. And that's what religion does to you. You don't get anywhere. You give, you do all these things, you do all these things thinking it will get you into heaven, but all it does is you wind up in the same place you were already at. So back to Matthew 7, let's look at the two builders so we can find out just how we're building our house, which is life down here on earth. I want to share some observations with you today regarding the story that Jesus told His followers about these two men that built their house. The wise man built his house upon a rock. The foolish man made a sandcastle and it came tumbling down. In Pisa, Italy, I've traveled all over the world. I love to travel. I get an itch, and it's really been hard for me because they will not let me travel because of after you have a hip surgery, you can get some kind of blood clots, and so they still won't let me travel. It's driving me nuts. But I've been to Rome, I've been to London, I've been all over the world. But in Pisa, Italy, there's a building that's captured the attention of the world for it's known for its unintended tilt. And we simply call it the Leaning Tower of Pizza. I call it the Leaning Tower of Pizza. It's the freestanding bell tower of that cathedral that you see there in the picture. And perhaps you remember a few years ago, I think it was started in 1990, it went all the way to the year 2001, they did a renovation. They were afraid this building was going to collapse because it had begun to tilt more and more over the years. Engineers, they spent $25 million to renovate that project and stabilize that tower. And you know what they did? They removed 110 tons of dirt. And they reduced its famous lean by about 16 inches. And you say, why was this necessary, Pastor Keith? Because the tower had been tilting further and further away from vertical for hundreds of years, to the point that the top of the 185-foot tower was 17 feet further south than the bottom. And Italian authorities were concerned that if nothing was done, it was going to collapse. You know what the problem was? Was it bad design? No. Was it poor workmanship? No. Was it inferior grade of marble? No. You know what the problem was? It was underneath. It was built on sandy soil that was there in Pisa, Italy, and it was not stable enough to support a monument this size. The tower had no firm foundation. That's what made it lean. Isn't that incredible? You know, a lot of people have done that with their lives. You're only as strong as your foundation. Did you ever wonder why so many of the jet set in Hollywood crash and burn? I remember being so disturbed the night I was watching the news and it came on about Robin Williams hung himself with a belt and died. This man who made everybody else laugh was so depressed that he took his own life. And it seems like every other day someone in Hollywood is crashing and burning. Either they're checking themselves in for rehab or they're hanging themselves to get out of this world. They shine like a blazing rocket on their way up, but all too soon they realize they built their house on meaningless things. And you're only as strong as your foundation. Child of God, if you built your life upon Jesus Christ, the solid rock, I want you to know you're going to weather the storms that come against you. No matter what the devil brings your way, you can make it. I know there are some here in this church right now that are going through an attack of the enemy. And you literally feel like it's one thing after another. But I want you to know, you have a firm foundation. If you've built your hope and your life upon faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what comes your way, you will stand. I'll give you a few things that I noticed about this story. First of all, I noticed there were only two builders. There were only two alternatives here. You either built on sand, are you built upon the rock? In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15, God said, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. So you choose life so that your children may live." They only had two choices. You either choose life or you choose death. And the world in which we live tries to tell us there are many roads that lead to God. Oprah religion. All roads lead to heaven, she says, like a spiritual buffet. But that is a lie from hell. Are you with me? Either you choose life and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you'll spend eternity in hell. You know, there are so many people today who say, "Pastor, how can you say that? That's not inclusive. That's leaving out, you know, the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Hare Krishnas and all these others. How don't you think that they're equally going to go to heaven?" No, I don't. Jesus didn't say, "I am a way." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. We don't need to apologize about being exclusive with our faith. Come on. There's only two builders. The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. Either you're trusting in Christ as your foundation, or you're building your life upon sand. And when the storms of life come, they knock down everything you've built. So what is the difference in the two builders? Notice it was an opportunity. They both heard the same words. Jesus said, one man who hears my words, he's like the wise man who built his house on a rock. Another man hears my words, and he's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine is like one of these two builders. They're both called upon to build their house. But one was wise, and one was foolish. It wasn't even a matter of ability. As a matter of fact, the second builder, the foolish man, his house might have even looked better than the wise man's house. No doubt he had a better view. He had a beachfront view because he built it on the sand. They both started out equal. They heard the words of the master. Notice it wasn't even a difference in their houses because the Bible tells us that the Bible didn't tell us that one was large and one was small. They may have even used the same set of building plans they bought at the Home Depot. It wasn't even a difference in the matter of trials. See, some would say, well, poor foolish man, he had a bigger storm and that's why his house blew down. No, in both cases, the Bible uses the same identical words. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. See, I've learned that just because I'm a child of God doesn't mean I'm exempt from having trials. Matter of fact, sometimes we have more than the wicked. We get the same storms that fall upon the heathen. The Bible says it rains upon the just and the unjust. The only difference was the foundation. Isn't that interesting? The only difference in these two builders was the foundation. One built on sand, the other built upon rock. I have no doubt both men put forth similar effort. They both had to carry their materials. They both had to hammer their nails or whatever they did. They both worked hard. It's just that when the storm came, it revealed the foundation. They both probably looked exactly alike because the foundation don't show till everything was knocked down. Are you with me? You guys are awful quiet today. Thank you, dear. Isaiah 28, I love this. My friend Leon Patello wrote a song when he was in Jerusalem. He wrote this song from this verse. See, this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. And the one who trusts in him will never be dismayed. Hallelujah. Friends, sometimes we look at the trial. That's all we can get our eyes on. But look, you need to look at the foundation. You get your eyes on Jesus, you're going to weather the storm. Are you trusting in him today? Maybe you say, Pastor Keith, I must have missed it somewhere because I'm having all kinds of problems. No. It rains on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Look at Luke 6:48. He records the same story, just a little different wording. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. It takes some digging to establish our faith. Come on. It takes some digging and work. But when a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. Maybe you're going through the torrent today. Maybe you're feeling the wind blowing against you, my friend. But I want you to know we got a cornerstone. We've got a cornerstone. No, notice it didn't say if the flood came. It said when the flood came. I've been watching the news now and the evening news and the devastation that Hurricane Florence caused in North South Carolina, and it just looked like it devastated everything. People are trying to get back into their houses, and some of them the water is still over the house. There's times in our life when the enemy comes in like a flood. And make no mistake about it, his objective is to test to see what your foundation is. What you're made of. Come on. Isaiah 59 says this. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The enemy comes in like a flood, but God lifts up his banner, a standard against him. This is mine. You can't touch it. Read the book of Job. Satan couldn't even touch Job. And God's, he said, you've got a hedge around him. That was under the old covenant. Imagine how much better it is now under the new covenant. He tries to come against me and God says, no, he's mine. Remember, I'm God's favorite pastor. He's got my picture on his refrigerator, right? Friend, you got an enemy. If you didn't know it, I hate to burst the bubble today and disappoint you, but you got an enemy. The devil hates you. And it's really not you he hates, it's Jesus in you he hates. There are times when trials are coming at us, they feel like floodwaters. But wait, in the middle of that devastation, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard. Hallelujah. Our foundation to build our life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. I don't have to lay the foundation. I just have to get on it. I just have to be in Christ. The foundation has already been laid. The cross has already been bore. He carried my sicknesses and diseases. He carried my sins and they were nailed to the cross. And Jesus is my foundation. See, if you're trying to build a foundation on religion, if you're trying to build a foundation on money or your career, all these things will fail you if Jesus is not your foundation. A clear example of this would be Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. This is a guy that had everything to live with, but nothing to live for. Think about that. Man, he collected horses and chariots. When we go to Megiddo, I'll share with you, those of you going with me to Israel, you'll see that's where Solomon literally had just hundreds and hundreds of horses and chariots that he kept there as his collection. He collected wives. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Who are you? I'm number 547. Haven't seen you in a few years. Next day, who are you? I'm number 548. Oh. You know what the worst part of that was? He had 1,000 mother-in-laws. Ma, if you're watching this, I love you. You wonder how he could be the wisest man that ever lived, huh? Yet in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 14, he said this, I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. Isn't that sad? They say that he ruled his kingdom from 970 BC until 931 BC. And during the time of his reign, his salary was 25 tons of gold for each of the 39 years that he reigned. Now put that in today's dollars. He was a quadrillionaire. And yet I look at what Solomon would later say in chapter 12 and verse 13 when he would say, Now all has been heard, and here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. And this is the whole duty of man. See, in the middle of all of his vanity, he discovered that there was really only one thing that really mattered. And it was that we fear God and keep Him first in our life. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's sad that people have to go through so much, many times, to where they come to a point where they have nowhere else to turn, and then they turn to Jesus. Let me just give you an example. How many in here came to Christ somehow through a crisis in your life. Okay, several. A lot of people that I lead to Jesus, it happens in the hospital or it happens somewhere. Something's going on in their life, a crisis in their life, and that's when they turn to God. I remember growing up, I grew up in church all my life, you know, and I used to think, man, I don't have a testimony. I'd have never done drugs. I didn't smoke, didn't drink, didn't cuss, didn't chew, didn't run with those who do. And man, I just remember there was a time when I thought, Lord, nobody's going to listen to me. I don't have anything to tell them. The Lord reminded me, I had a great testimony.
That's right.
That He kept me. Yeah. That He spared me from... You realize I've never had a hangover? I don't even know what that feels like. But Kathy Brummett has, and she told me all about it. Feeling better now, aren't you? Okay. I'll teach her to speak up in the middle of my sermon. I've always been amazed at Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. I've always been amazed that he personifies wisdom. And of all things, he makes her a woman. Hello? Wisdom has built her house. That don't say much for us guys. She has hewn out its seven pillars with the help of her husband. No, I added the last part. I just thought surely she didn't hew the pillars out by herself. Wisdom has hewn her house. Because remember, that's what Jesus was talking about. The wise man built his house. So when wisdom built his house, her house, I'm sorry, she cut the whole house out of rock. She hewed out its seven pillars. Man, you talk about a strong house, a house built out of a rock. Man, it's like going into a cave. Safe, huh? Now, there's been a lot of people that have speculated what those seven pillars of wisdom may be. I even preached a sermon on it once. I think it could be this. Pillar number one, righteousness. Pillar number two, justice. Pillar number three, humility. Pillar number four, diligence. Pillar number five, faith. Pillar number six, respect. Pillar number seven, truth. I don't know. That sounds good to me. I mean, can you come up with a better one? But notice, what's the beginning of the house of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. The Bible tells me the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what Solomon said. I've come to this conclusion. After my 700 wives, 300 concubines, all my horses, all my chariots, all my tons of gold. It's the fear of the Lord that really makes a man. Are you with me? Let me close today. All of us are going to face some storms in this life. We face loss just like the rest of the world. We grieve. Come on. Sometimes Christians don't understand the grieving process. And sometimes I'm going to preach a sermon on how to grieve. Because we only hear that at funerals. But listen, we grieve loss. Right? We grieve loss. We go through pain. The problem is with, or here's the good part about it, is as Christians, the loss we grieve always has a new beginning. You see what I'm saying? Whenever God closes one door for us, He opens another door. If you're in the middle of loss right now and you're grieving some loss in your life, look for the door to open. God has a new direction for you. God has something new He wants to put in your life. I believe that with all of my heart. When the sky turns black, when the winds start blowing, when the waters are raging, the only thing that matters is your foundation. If you've built your life on the foundation of Jesus and God's Word, you're going to make it through the storm. Nothing can separate us from His love. And here's the thing. Casting Crowns wrote a song about this. You don't have to hold on to Him because He's holding on to you. I see people, they're trying to hold on to Jesus. Forget it. He's holding on to you. He's never going to let you go. He's got this. What's going on in your life right now? He's got your back, friend. No matter what it looks like, let me ask you today, which builder are you? Are you the wise man who's built his house upon Jesus Christ and faith in Him and what He did at the cross? Or are you the foolish man who's trying to impress God with your good deeds? Trust me, the storm is coming. And there's coming a day when we're all going to stand before God on that judgment day, and He's only going to ask one question: what have you done with my son, Jesus? I want to close by reading this passage from James, chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Some of us would like to do that. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. See, so many people, they've heard all the right things. They just haven't put them into practice. Are you with me? If you're here today, just a moment, bow your heads with me. No one's looking around. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Keith, I realized through this sermon today that I've never really made Jesus Christ my personal Savior. I've tried to be a good person. I've gone to church. I've done these things, but I've never surrendered to Him and trusted Him for my eternal life. But today I realize I want to be like the wise man. I want to build my house on a strong foundation. And I want to give my life to God. Would you put your hand up and put it right back down? No one's looking around. If you're here today and you just say, Pastor Keith, I need Jesus. I don't know, perhaps everyone here is born again today. That's wonderful. Okay, let's just stand to our feet. Say with me today, Father God, I thank You that I am Your child. I am trusting in You and the finished work of the cross for my salvation. Thank You, Father, that I am a doer of the word and not just a hearer. I receive this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.